to continue talking about habits in our lives. You know, the first week that I talked, we talked about viewing God's provisions, how we view our things in life, that they're not necessarily our own, that we are stewards of them. Last week we talked about the trials in our life. How do we view them? Do we want to, you know, have like a kind of a self-centered type point of view, or do we want to see us be victorious in those? Does God want to see us be victorious in those? So today we're going to talk about this idea of community, okay? This idea of getting together, right? This church is called Northgate Community Church, all right? So it's in the name. Dan's like, what? That's right. We're going to talk about brotherly love, this idea of Philadelphia, as it says. How do we do life together? You know, how do we get along here in Northgate, right? How are we working together for the kingdom of God, right? But, you know, if you've ever been on a church board any time in your life, you know that sometimes it can get feisty in there, right? This also has to do with work life, right? It's not just about what happens here at church, because when we leave these doors, right, when we go walk out these doors, we should be Christ followers and represent Jesus. We should be representing Jesus in our work life, right? And I was thinking about my work life, and I was thinking about my boss, and he's a big jerk. That's a joke. If you don't know, I am the boss, so he never lets me take a day off, never lets me go golfing or anything like that. I also have another boss, and she puts her foot down quite a bit. That's right. Mr. Tom, don't feed into that. Come on. You should hear about how Tiffany talks about her boss. That's Stephen, so. Whether we're in work life or church life, friends or family, they're full of personalities, right? All right? It's not just here. There's family members who we tend to not affiliate ourselves with, right? There's alpha personalities. You know, there's type A personalities, strong personalities that go with that. There's quiet and introverted personalities. And I don't know if I'm like an alpha or strong personality, but I tend to, you know, a lot of times I've been learning that folks that are introverted, because I'm not really introverted a lot of times. I tend to be like, wow, all the time, you know what I mean? So if you know me, I get that from my mom. But it's easy for strong personalities. A lot of times we could be pushy. And quiet personalities we could see as being weaker, right? Or they don't have anything to add to the kingdom. But what we're going to discover here in Romans is we all have spiritual gifts, or as somebody that I just recently talked to lately, we all have superpowers, right? Huh? I don't know if that's sacrilege to call spiritual gifts superpowers, but there are abilities that God gives us that are outside of our own capacity, right? All right, this is going to be really cool. See, I throw this nerd thing in there every once in a while, right? But we have these spiritual gifts that God gives us, and they should be practiced amongst ourselves here at Northgate, in the small groups that we gather in, and also, they should also flow into our daily work lives and personal lives. Just a few questions. What does true community look like? Because for some of us, our communities are broken, right? Sometimes we have relationships with people that aren't really perfect, aren't God-honoring. So who do we do life with, though? Who are the people that we surround ourselves with? Are they filled with people who build us up? Or we fill them with people who tear us down? Do the people around us... I'm going to stop touching this. Do the people around you, or us, do they make us a better follower of Christ, right? Who influences us? Who builds us up? There's always, no matter where you're at in the Christian spectrum of where your walk is with Jesus, there's always somebody who can mentor you or disciple you. Is there an accountability that you have with your friends or family? And, you know, I think I talked about this once before, but to me, at least I see, and I've been reading a little bit of this, but it's a fundamental fact that no matter how extroverted or introverted or whatever your personality type is, we need connections, right? We need to gather with people every once in a while to feel human. We are wired to gather with each other, whether we like it or not. And it's interesting because I think about what Scripture has to say is we can't be better believers if we're by ourselves, right? We can't just read our Bible. We could, and you know, read it and see what it has to say and then not share with anybody or talk to anybody about it. Because what happens is we end up forming one single point of view. But we know, at least the truth of what this Bible has to say, what this book has to say, is this constantly changing based off of my understanding of it. Does that make sense? This is the truth that always stays. But my understanding, the way that my spirit and my faith grows, the words inside this book change. If we walk by ourselves, we can get tunnel vision. We can have a narrow view of what Scripture has to say. That's why it's important, as we talk about community, to surround yourself with people who have already walked the path, or people who are spiritually mature, to help spur you on. It's one of those things where if you don't surround yourself with people who spur you on or make you better, a lot of times we can surround ourselves. It's really easy, especially if you're like a leader of something, to surround yourself with like yes people. You know, you do something and all they do is say, yeah, you did a good job, or yes, yes, yes. I think, I always think of this idea of like Michael Jackson, you know, like, he got to a point of his life where people stopped, you know, I'm not a big Michael Jackson fan, but he got to a point of his life where he's just surrounded by people who would just feed into his persona. We want to hear what they wanted to hear. And if we understand our place in the body of Christ, we can have a more fulfilled life spiritually. And the kingdom of God could reach people outside of these walls. But it's important to understand that we have these gifts, these superpowers. There's a reason why God wired our brains the way that they are. It's not by chance. But to be in a true community that is Christ-centered, we ourselves must be Christ-centered. So we're going to start talking about this real quick. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Oh. So some of you know I lost my glasses this past week, so I'm going to read this really slow. And with one eye open. Here we go. There's like three sections in Romans chapter 12. Yes, Romans chapter 12. And there's three sections we're going to kind of pick apart here in just a second. But we're going to read verses 1 through 3 to start with. Again, this is personal responsibility. This is Paul's talking to the Romans, and this is about our responsibility as a part of the greater body of Christ. This is what it says. This is the New Living Translation. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Do not think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your own evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us." All right, that's where we're going to stop. So our lives are supposed to look differently. We're supposed to have a living and holy sacrifice life. So that seems a little weird or odd. At least when I read living and holy sacrifice, what does that exactly mean? Well, I don't know, this is the wrong crowd, but anybody heard the band Zayo? Huh? No? They're like back in the, you know, Ken, you probably heard of them, right? Yeah, if my brother was here, he'd know who they were. But they were like me and Jerry and our own little sphere of like punk rockers or whoever, hardcore fans. But this idea of living, having, being living, is not necessarily just breathing and existing. It's this word zeo. It's a life that's centered with God. It's life flowing with Spirit. See, that's different than just existing and, you know, doing every day-to-day stuff. In Romans chapter 6, Paul says this, is don't let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve him, to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have a new life. Again, that word life is the same as the word living. We're supposed to be constantly transformed. We're supposed to be constantly changing. To be holy in this sense, as the living and holy, is to be saintly, right? What does our public witness look like? What do our morals look like? What do the people around us say we are? And to sacrifice, well, that's pretty simple, right? Christ died on the cross as the ultimate sacrifice. That the path of Jesus is a serious one. It's a serious commitment. Similar to getting married, right? Till death. So our lives should be filled and Christ-centered. We should be saintly. And ultimately, this path, our lives, is forever. Now, some translations, there's another word here that talks about privilege. Oh, I missed it. Yeah, verse 3, because of the privilege and authority. Again, it's interesting to note that the English language, how they translated this, but a lot of times privilege in today's world can mean like entitlement, right? Because we're going to see here, we're going to connect this word privilege later on, that this word privilege actually means grace. That's what it translates to. It means that we don't deserve the gifts that we're going to be reading here in just a second. We don't deserve them. But God gives them to us, to those who are centered with Him. It also talks about measuring yourselves in this passage, right? Having an honest evaluation. And this is something like I used to struggle with early on in my Christian walk. I would look at people, especially when we were living at the apartments and life was getting real, you know, had like $2 to our name and wondering how we're going to pay our rent. But see, I would look at people and be like, I want to be just like that person. Or what if my life looked like if it was just like that? And I think I talked to Stephen about this. And I shouldn't be basing what I do based off what other people are doing. I should find the path that God has called for me. See, it's important to have people in your life to be able to direct you, to reveal blind spots, so that way we don't deceive ourselves. So the first part of being a part of a community is we have to realize that we can't do it by ourselves, that it's by grace that we're going to be able to have these gifts that we're going to read on next. So let's go ahead and turn to, we're going to go to, keep reading here, verses 4 through 8. Chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. So just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of the one body, but we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So this is a sort of a condensed version of the spiritual gifts passages. But Paul goes over some fundamental gifts here that we all have. Again, the role that we have to play. You know, we can't, you know, if we think of the body of Christ literally as a body, we can't have two left feet, right? That's what they usually say if you can't dance really well. We can't have two right hands. But our role is supposed to move people into the kingdom of God. Did you know that there is a gift, a superpower that God has given you by His grace? So we're going to go through these. And a lot of times when we talk about spiritual gifts or abilities, things of that nature, a lot of people say, I don't know what mine is. But I'm going to read these down. I have kind of some descriptions on what these are. And as I read them, just start praying about it. When I go over them and I read some of these things, it might strike you as like, hey, that identifies me. That kind of describes my life. And of course, it's always important to ask the people around you, the people that you're confident with that walk with Jesus, to kind of confirm these in your life, right? You'll be surprised with the answers. So the first thing that Paul talks about is prophecy. So a lot of times, you know, starting off with a big one here, right? All right. So a lot of times in American culture, in today's culture, there's prophets all the time, right? There's the guy that was like going to predict the end of the world, and that's already gone. You know, there's like the Mayan calendar guys, and they're always predicting things. But the act of prophecy is sharing the divine nature of God, right, with everybody. The Old Testament, God used prophets to send messages to His people. But we don't necessarily need prophets anymore because we have this Holy Spirit inside of us. For me, it helps to kind of envision or to think about prophecy. Could be something that's just as simple as vision, right? Something, a glimpse of the foreseeable future. You know, this all seems kind of, you know, a little kind of spooky or anything like that. But it's not predicting the future, right? We're supposed to, in our lives, for most of us, I would hope, in our work lives and our personal lives, we could see what our lives could look like in 5 to 10 years, right? And sometimes this could be a picture in your head, something that you draw or something that you write down. Again, it's not necessarily predicting the future. This is what's going to happen 5 years from today. But it's a glimpse into the foreseeable future. If God had His way with us, this could be what it is. The next one is serving others. You get an overwhelming sense of joy from helping those in need. Do you like throwing parties? Well, that could be as simple as that. Daniel doesn't know this, but Daniel loves to have people over at his house. He'll even feed you if you let him, right? Have you ever experienced that before? Whew. But serving others, this is a very personal experience. It can mean getting on your knees and humbling yourself before people and serving them. The next one down is teach, being a teacher. You love passing knowledge on to others. You love leading Bible studies, Sunday schools, cooking classes, art classes, music classes, sewing classes. When I think of the word teacher, I got this idea, this picture of Jeff Bridges, right? Everybody know who Jeff Bridges is, right? Oh, come on, people. Anybody ever seen The Giver, right? Huh? Or heard of The Giver? Read The Giver, right? So The Giver's job was to pass knowledge down to the next giver. To relate to that type of passing knowledge down. You enjoy passing it down. Of course, there's someone, if you like to encourage people, you see people around you who need encouragement. Again, this is not sympathy, okay? But encouragement, to be an encourager, takes courage. It requires you to trust that voice that's inside of you to say, go up and say something. Again, this could look as a discipling type role, a mentorship type role. This is sharing your life with someone, being a coach, going to Starbucks and getting coffee type of thing. Another one that Paul describes here is giving. Are you a person that loves to give gifts to people? Now, if you're married here, you will know that your wife will tell you are horrible at this one, right? Amen. We never can give enough gifts, you know? And if we do give a gift, it's the wrong gift. Because it was supposed to be purple instead of blue or whatever. But in Luke chapter 3, verse 11, this is what it says. John replied, "If you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry." Do you love giving things away with no strings attached? Does working with the poor or the needy or with those of less, does that give you fulfillment? Does that kind of get your motor running? The next one that Paul describes here is leadership. When it comes to leadership, this is the first person on the battlefield, right? This is the person leading the charge. He's the first person to gird up those loins and get ready. And again, you can't lead unless you've experienced the things that you're leading. And again, we're supposed to take this seriously. Another word for this is diligence. We're supposed to be diligent in our leadership. Do you have the ability to rally people? Can you handle the pressure of leading the charge when times get tough? And this next one's important. This word, this next one is kindness. But what's kindness? You know, kindness, we've already sort of talked about, you know, giving things away. But kindness is more than just, oh, I'll just be nice to you. It's about being merciful. Can you look past the sins of others, other people in your life and see the potential in them? Do you have a deep compassion for the hearts of the people around you? Do people always pop in your head of the people in your life that need more direction? So which one do you think you have? Huh? Did any of these resonate with you? Again, it's one of those things that it doesn't have to, you want to hear some voice from God today, but as we move through our lives and as we become better and better Christians, we can kind of see, you can kind of see in your life, well, I'm really good at this and I'm not really necessarily good at this other thing. But these gifts, these superpowers that God has given us through His grace are to benefit our community here at Northgate and outside the church. So we're going to go ahead and read verse 9 through 13. Because if you know anything about being in a community with people, being a small group, being in a church environment, whether it be, and also work environments, there are things that can be done to disrupt that, right? We are humans, and our fleshly desires can get into play here. So let's go ahead and talk about some of these things. So we're going to first read verse 9 through 13 here. It says this, "Don't just pretend to love others, but really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good, love each other with genuine affection, take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in the confident of hope. Be patient in trouble and keep praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them always. Be eager and practice hospitality." And we're going to keep reading here. I misread that here. We're going to read all the way through 21 here. Verse 14. "Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep for those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live with peace with one another. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame, coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil with doing good. When we talk about community, when we talk about getting together outside of church, inside of church, in our work, it's really easy for us to be fake with each other. That's superficial relationships. We're called not to retaliate evil with evil, or somebody who wrongs us or persecutes us, slanders our name. We're called not to curse people. And again, this word curse Jesus uses, and it means that we literally are wishing that somebody couldn't receive Christ as their Savior and be cast into hell. That's a big one right there, to curse somebody. We can cause unnecessary drama. We could blow this whole thing up if we wanted to, right? I'm going to have the worship team come on up as they prep for the last song. But instead, we should be people who are peacemakers, right? We should honor each other. We should have respect for each other. We should rejoice in the hope of the future where God receives the glory. And just by His grace and mercy that we can be a part of that plan. You know, here at Northgate, you know, we're moving in a different direction than we were, say, like 5 years ago. We're plugging people, leaders into positions, and we're feeling God moving us along. So where do you fit here at Northgate? How do you connect with people outside in different communities and discipleship groups? There's a piece of paper out there with all the groups that are currently meeting. If you don't see your group on that list and you want to start a group, I'm pretty much the guy in charge of starting all those groups and helping those along. If you want to start one, talk to me. We can get that going. But do you know you have a gift from God that's greater than our own selves? And are there people in your life, do you surround people in your life that make you a better believer? Again, community is important. Gathering together is important. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for us, and then the worship team will take it away. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. And we just thank you for the fact that you know what you're doing, Lord. That the plans that you have are greater than our plans, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that as we kind of envision what community could look like, Lord, and how we fit, I just pray that you just make that clear to us today, Lord. To know that we play a much greater role than even we might expect. And Lord, help us to bring your kingdom of God here to earth to the people around us so that they can see a glimpse of what it is like to be a follower of you. Once again, Lord, I just thank you for all the things that you do, good and bad, the trials of life and all. Just pray that we can see you. I just pray in your name. Amen.